This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlon.
Yo.
You know, I come back from vacation, I always say the biggest thing that happened in sports while I was gone. Remember famously Denny Avdia dropping 43 a few years
That's
back?
That's right. People Since you've been gone... What's new?
Biggest thing that happened when I was gone? The Houston Texans have signed Owen Wright.
Ah, there we go, Owen.
Let's go. Let's get it done.
It's a great landing spot.
Tweets at Beating the Book. Michael Lafon. Gil, this is driving me crazy. Check the tape. I'm sure Jason Weingarten said on your show on the second preseason game, tease up the three-team 10-point total and bet the under. I did it. I'm sure I'm right. All right, well, Michael, you're talking about the second preseason game. We're talking about the first now. Also, there's an inflection point at 37. 37 is a very key preseason total. If the total is below that, I like to tease down and play the over. If the teaser is over that, I would go the Jason way. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Brian M., you mentioned Kyler. Did Gil know the new Call of Duty comes out October 23rd, the weekend going into week 7? Also, NBC studio analyst Mike Tomlin coached 19 seasons, never having a losing season. I'm done with the Kyler jokes. Only my second Call of Duty mention for the record.
Yeah, Brian, I just had to yell about this off air. Yeah, it's your second time. I don't think I've never seen as many jokes on the internet as Kyler and the Call of Duty release date.
Jason Q. Welcome back, Gil. Great having you back, brother. Thank you, Jason Q. And Jesse Welch, Gil, quote, yeah, I'll call Lombardi and see if that happens. I'm sure he's got it all figured out, unquote. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, don't get me started. All right, Kelly, heat check on MLB awards. Let's start with the ones that are...
Done or not done yet?
Prohibitive favorite. Okay, so AL MVP, I hope, because we did this several times, and what did I keep saying? Even when he was plus money. Mm-hmm. When he was short plus money and short minus money, I said... Yordan Alvarez. Well, now he's, what, minus 1,100 or something on this?
Yeah, it's like ticking up 100 a day. Let's see.
And I don't know why it's funny because Joe Sheehan is on tomorrow. I'm going to say something.
Yordan minus 900 at DraftKings.
Minus 900. I'm going to give Joe Sheehan a shout here momentarily. But I remember him giving me some pushback on it. And then like a week later, he's like, you're right about Alvarez. Alvarez still leads the American League, even after having a bad game yesterday. He still leads the American League in average, 322. Homers, 35. RBI, 86. That's the Triple Crown, folks.
Mm.
OBP, 435. Slugging, 624. 137 hits. 79 runs. Those are all leads in the American League. This is the most landslide MVP that there has been. I can't understand why anybody... I do understand, because you know what the biggest criticism was when I said it back then? Oh, but he always gets hurt. Okay, yeah, but like, is that a reason that you would overcome the numbers?
That and DH.
He's about, let's put it this way, about the hurt thing. We have 7 weeks left in the MLB season. He's about 3 weeks away from this not even mattering if he got hurt. Maybe 4 weeks, right? Like, I mean, that's how dominant this has been from Alvarez. So that one's donezo, if he stays healthy. And then the other one is NL Cy Young, and I know it got closer, but the Miz is the Miz. What, he miss one start where they were sort of slow playing him? These are all number, forget National League. These are all number one in MLB. ERA 1.76, 147 batting average against, 0.74 whip, 68 hits allowed, 26 earned runs, and that's after giving up 3 yesterday. 204 Ks, a 40.6% K rate. Don't hold me to that exactly. I might not have updated that. And a 5.1 WAR. Those are all number one in Major League Baseball. Miz is minus 525. With apologies to Chris Sale and Christopher Sanchez, I'm sorry. He's winning. He's winning. The dude is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I know we've had some other great pitchers this year, but man, that number feels low.
Those are all number one in Major League Baseball. It's Alvarez-like in dominance. So those are the ones that, barring injury, it's kind of donezo. 7 weeks of Major League Baseball regular season left. Now, the two that changed while I was gone changed in terms of this time not going away as a prohibitive favorite, but tightening up. Let's start with the American League Cy Young. Cam Schlittler versus Dylan Cease. Now, here's the one where Sheehan was on the Cease side of things, and he might be right in the end. But Schlittler had a good outing last night, and he needed. By the way, Schlittler minus 125, Cease even money.
So did this toggle back again after last night? Because Cease did become favorite he in did. The last week.
Here's the thing. Schlittler, before last night, well, let's include last night. Even including last night, where he had a great performance and a loss for the Yankees. Even with that, three of his last eight outings have not been good.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Cease, all the while that was happening, hasn't had a bad outing since June. And two of his last five outings were nearly no hitters. So as long as he keeps doing that, that's a interesting point. Because as always, Kelly, we go back to the Tom Tango numbers. Tom Tango, sabermetrician, inventor of fielding independent pitching, run expectancy matrix. Tom Tango, who has commented on our videos on this over the years often, his point system has correctly identified at the end of the season, has correctly identified 32 of the last 38, oh, excuse me, 34 out of 40 now, pardon me, 34 out of the last 40, I believe, Cy Young winners. 32 of 38 or 34 of 40, I can't remember. But you get the idea. It's been tremendously accurate. And his whole formula, forget all the advanced numbers, his whole formula, Kelly, is innings pitched divided by 2 minus earned runs plus strikeouts divided by 10 plus wins. You don't have to remember that formula. The whole point of the formula is all that matters in the end are strikeouts, wins, earned runs, and innings pitched. That's it. None of this other stuff. And so using that formula, Schlittler is currently at 65.5 Tango points, and Cease is a distant 56.6. And much of that is because while Cease has been pitching great, and Schlittler has had his problems of late, despite last night, Cease hasn't made up ground in the win column at all in that time period.
That's going to be a thing, you would think, right, for the remainder of the season.
It's a big thing because of who they each play for, right? Mm-hmm. Cease has to be like completely lights out to guarantee almost a win for him. Cease is 7-5. Schlittler is 10-6. The rest of the stats kind of check out, right? I mean, Cease is better than him in some categories, like K percentage, 36.4 to 30.8. Earned runs, he's given up fewer. But again, K percentage doesn't matter usually for the voters in this kind of thing. So do I agree? Ultimate question. Do I agree with this being as tight as it is? Yes, because Cease has been... the eyes see Cease's near no-nos, right? And so I think that if he does one more of those, if he has another one of those, I actually think voters will toggle to Cease. And sort of that will be tough to overcome for Schlittler. But if Cease doesn't have one of those, I wonder if then in the wash, those voters just end up going with the Yankee pitcher who ends up with the better, this is so ridiculous, but the better win-loss record in the end might be the difference according to Tango's formula. If you're a Cease better, I know it's ridiculous, I know. We love advanced stats here. But the way that the formula has worked out, and it's tried and true, 34 out of 40, 32 out of 38, one of those, of the last winners, 19 or 20 years. That stuff matters to voters. And so, if you're a Cease better, you better hope he gets the wins in his forthcoming outings, and it would really help if he had another just performance like he did at Fenway, like he did at Oracle, where he flirted with no-hitters both times. Couldn't quite get there. But it's correct that it's close. It's amazing to me that something as simple as wins might be the difference. That's how close it is between these guys.
You have any desire to jump in on this with a bet right now?
No, I do not.
It's kind of where I'm at too.
And then as far as NL MVP, this is the one that has changed the most.
Oh, wait, real quick on this one. It did jump out to me that Sonny Gray has climbed this and passed Rasmussen.
He's bounced around. It's Schlittler. Cease.
Down to two. Okay.
NL MVP. This was Shohei's. But then Shohei stopped pitching, right?
Mm-hmm.
Got hurt. So that changed the entire calculus of NL MVP. Because the thinking is, it's always going to be Shohei's because... this just in, he both pitches and hits at an elite level. Well, he was great as a pitcher, right? Great as a starting pitcher. Shohei still on the season was fantastic. 85 and two-thirds innings. He was 8-2 with a 1.79 ERA. But he stopped, and he's having a really good season at the plate, just not as good as he's had the last couple years. Specifically in terms of home runs, right? His home run rate is far below what it has been the last couple of years. So while he's doing this, Pete Crow Armstrong stats are almost precisely, like their slash numbers, Kelly, are almost identical. They've each hit 26 homers and 71 RBI. Crow Armstrong has many more steals, 24 more steals than Shohei. But if it was just hitter versus hitter, and Shohei's work in the past with pitching, it's still more impressive what Shohei has done. But I do think voters are faced with this problem of, we're going to have to give it to Shohei every year. So they dream of opportunities, if this makes sense, where they don't have to. And I think this is their opportunity where they don't have to. And so I think Pete Crow Armstrong is actually a good bet at minus 120 now. And there is no timetable for Shohei to come back for pitching until like mid-September.
Yeah, I hate it. I kind of think you're right.
Like, give me an excuse not to have to vote for Shohei. I think that's where we are with this. Coming back with Adam Burke on A Numbers Game right here at Visa. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
I don't know if you're aware of this, Kelly, but football is back. And some of the best betting opportunities of the year start with the NFL preseason. Sign up for the VSiN Pro subscription today. Get both our NFL and college football betting guides packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds to help you bet football smarter all season long. You also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, including our new MLB player props and totals picks, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99. You get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Have you signed up for a contest yet, Kelly?
Nope, not at all. Probably do that a couple days before they start. Yep.
Yeah. I have to remind myself to do that as well.
I remember us having the same conversation last year. Gil would check in with me every other day until like 2 days before the NFL season.
I don't know if it was every other day, but yeah.
It's pretty convenient for us. We can get to it at any time.
I sort of have to remind myself more now.
No, don't get me wrong. We always hit a point in the summer, like a point in August too, where I'm like, why haven't I signed up for these yet? Like at the same time, it is right behind you. You could do it at any time.
Well, I'll do 1 million. And I don't know how many Survivor.
I haven't really decided yet.
The whole everybody having, a million entries at this point. I know this has always been the case that people have had more than 10, but it's gotten to the point now where I'm just like, okay.
Oh, it's become chaos. I will be at least three, no more than six or seven.
I don't know if this gentleman enters either contest, but he is the glue that holds his whole operation together. It's Adam Burke joining us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Skating Tripods. Good morning, Adam, sir.
Hey, what's happening, boys? How are we doing?
We're doing well. How are you doing? Are you a contest player? I can't remember.
Oh, Burster's
in. Yes. You got deep in Survivor.
Yeah, I think it was 2023 with my partner, Mark Goldberg, Spooky Express. The guy's a legend around Circa at this point now, just because he knows everybody, will talk to everybody. He also has like a lifetime VSiN Pro subscription. So shout out to Mark, who everyone knows is Spooky. Couldn't catch up with him last week, was dealing with some family stuff back home in Cleveland. But I know he's signed up, and I'll talk to him about, you know, getting myself cut in there.
Lifetime VSiN subscription. You know you could get those, Kelly? Lifetime
VSiN subscription. Oh, I know. That's a flex. It's a flex.
Remember TiVo? You used to be able to get a like lifetime TiVo.
Mark's always usually got a pen or something for you, too. Yeah. Incredible branding by him. Yep.
True. Hey, Adam, listen, I still owe you dinner from that Guardians bet from last year, but I...
How does Texas Roadhouse sound?
How does Texas Roadhouse... But I know you're aware of this. The Guardians, for the first time all year, fell to 2 games under .500, 3 games under .500, and out of 4 games under .500. So it only took a year and 2/3, because I have them under the season win total again this year. But finally, it's sort of being commensurate with their run differential. And this is happening with their star in the lineup, Jose Ramirez. How do you feel about the team's chances right now?
Yeah, you know what? I wish people could see the text chain that I have with VSiN by the Books host Jensen Lewis, who, of course, pitched for the Indians on the 2010s.
Yeah.
We are so incredibly harsh about this team, but it's warranted. I mean, they're not a good baseball team. You know, I mean, Gavin Williams is maybe kind of taking the next step this year, and I would have probably let him try to get through the sixth inning yesterday or Saturday, whatever day that was. But the bullpen's not very good. The lineup is still terrible. Jose Ramirez came back way too early. You know, they've been keeping him out due to hand soreness. The bat speed is down. Yeah. There's not a whole lot of power there. And look, that is something that happens after a hamate bone injury. You know, he wanted to rush back because he's very well aware of the situation, that the offense outright sucks without him. But he came back too soon, and you know, now he's just not the player that we would expect him to be. And look, I give them credit. They're actually bringing up some guys from the minor leagues, hoping to spark this team. Made a couple of nice platoon-oriented trades. But there's just too many black holes in that lineup. And the bullpen, you know, has no idea what a shutdown inning is. So they're a bad baseball team. And that's a really, really bad division again.
Yeah. By the way, I said 4 games under .500. I apologize. It's only 3 games under .500. I sold them long there. Okay.
It might be 4 tomorrow.
Every time they lose, by the way, I send a text to the group chat. Die, Guardians, die, finally. Sorry, Adam. Okay, to the slate of games today. Every baseball guest we've had on today has had a play in the Mets-Braves game. You have one or two as well.
Yeah, so I'm going to call this a stepladder, just because it's just a couple steps of a ladder here. Mets over 3.5, Mets team total over 3.5 and over 4.5. So -130 on the over 3.5, +130 on the 4.5. I want to go against Bryce Elder here. You know, I mean, I realize that the Mets, they're a different offense without Juan Soto, who is a top 10 player in the league and objectively, you know, maybe a top 5 offensive player in the league. And Bryce Elder is just not a guy that I'm really buying a whole lot of stock in. And the Mets have been swinging the bats well here in the month of August, despite not having Soto. But Elder, in his 4 starts since the All-Star break, 1.88 ERA. That's cool. Good for him. 4.33 expected ERA. FIP over 5. Left on base percentage, 98%. BABIP, 161. Like, this is not sustainable at all whatsoever for him. Now he's facing a lineup that sees him very frequently. They have the book on him. They know what to expect. And also, Bryce Elder, last 2 starts, the velo's been down a little bit, too. So I'm looking for the Mets to do some things offensively here. Warm, humid night in Atlanta, as most of them are in the summertime. So a little stepladder here. Mets team total over 3.5 and also over 4.5.
I like it. Adam giving his precise reasoning as to why as well. Braves are hosting the Metropolitans, that's the one we just talked about. Pardon me. Phillies and the Cardinals, I should say, because this is another play that we... it's a game that we seized on earlier with other baseball guests. You have a play, Phillies Cardinals, today at Busch.
Yeah, so I want to preface this by saying I don't know how the Phillies are going to figure this thing out late in the game. Yoan Duran and Orion Kekering have both worked 4 of the last 5 days, so back-to-backs for them. They'd be pitching a 3rd day in a row 5 times in 6 days. I don't think Don Mattingly is going to do that. And a lot of their other relievers are, you know, 4-6, 3-5, back-to-backs, stuff like that. So I don't know how the back end of this game goes for the Phillies. But I am playing the first 5 here with the Phillies. That's about 10 cents higher than the full game number. You know, -115 for the full game, -125 for the first 5. But I'm buying Andrew Painter here. And I'm a little bit worried because he did leave his last start with a sore hamstring. But the stuff was really, really good against the Nationals. 17.5% swinging strike rate, 38% chase rate, only one hard hit ball. They made some adjustments with him in the minor leagues. They changed the shape of his sweeper. It's got more horizontal movement to it now. And also his splitter is kind of more of a split change. And it was a really, really effective pitch in those four innings against the Nationals. They moved him on the rubber a little bit more toward the third base side, something that they worked on, a little bit of a tweak. And remember, this is a guy who missed all of 2023, all of 2024, had an ERA of like 5.26 in the minors last year. I don't think that he was ready for opening day, but I think he's learning on the job now, and they've made some really positive adjustments. I like Hunter Dobbins, who gets to start here for the Cardinals, but I like Painter more, and I like this Phillies offense more. So I took the Phillies for the first five in this one, and they may win the full game. But again, their bullpen usage, very concerning, and something you want to look at all the time in baseball, but especially here in the dog days of summer.
My two pre-flop season win totals was Guardians under 80.5 and Rangers over 83.5. And the Rangers, super frustrating. They are out 500 team, still trying to get in the playoffs either by division or by wild card, though. You are on the Rangers today.
Yeah, I like the Rangers here today. This is kind of a fate of Reed Detmers. I imagine he was kind of disappointed to not get traded out of this organization, because if he went somewhere else, he'd probably be a top 25 pitcher in whichever league he was in. I mean, the stuff is so good, so much swing and miss upside, but the Angels just don't develop pitching talent. I mean, they haven't done it for a very, very long time. It's hard to think of the last homegrown ace-level pitcher that they've actually developed there. So Detmers kind of regressing back to what he's been like. You know, you look over his last eight starts here, ERA over 5, expected ERA over 5, FIP around 5, 20% home run to fly ball percentage, just giving up a ton of hard contact here. And the Angels offense, very bad against lefties of late. Joe Adell, of course, traded to Cleveland. He was their best hitter in that platoon split against Southpaws. They have a strikeout percentage of over 30% here in the month of August. I think it's a good spot for Mackenzie Gore, who's coming off the paternity list. Rangers bullpen well-rested. All their leverage guys are in good shape. I guess a pretty cheap price to back the road Rangers here in that minus 110, minus 115 range.
Adam, before you go, Kelly and I were talking about this a couple segments ago. Your Cleveland Browns, who do you want to be the starting quarterback week one, and who will be the starting quarterback week one?
God, I mean, I would settle for Charlie Fry or somebody at this point. I hope it's Shadur. I root a lot of ill will coming into Deshaun Watson's future. So I'm hoping it's Shadur, but I really don't think it matters. This is a team that's going to screw around and go 6-11 because the talent on the roster is really good outside of the quarterback position. So they won't get the guy they want, or they'll have to give up additional assets to trade for the guy they want in the draft, because Cleveland can't have anything nice.
In the long line of horrific Cleveland starting quarterbacks, who is your favorite of the worst?
Oh, God. We don't have enough time to talk about that.
Give me one name. One name.
Brady Quinn.
No. Ooh,
Brady Quinn's a good one.
No.
That's a good one.
Brad's worse than that. Okay. That didn't go as I planned. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
See ya. Coming back on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Check this out right here. Football season right around the corner. Just like the players, you need your reps before week one. The Sharps has a free weekly league that lets you practice the same football plays you already study. Props, sides, totals, combos. Everyone starts with 10,000 chips. Build your stack, climb the leaderboard, and sharpen your reads before the season kicks off. Enter at jointhesharps.com or scan the QR code on the screen and use code VSIN50 for a 50% deposit bonus up to $100. That's jointhesharps.com and use promo code VSIN50. We get tweets beating the book. This is from James Sott. The look of disgust when Gil asks Adam which Browns quarterback he wants speaks to all Browns fans. What I was hoping for was Spurgeon Wynn.
It's a long That's list,
the correct answer was Spurgeon Wynn, and Adam didn't come up with it.
I think I've decided Derek Anderson is just kind of the lasting image of Browns bad quarterbacks for me.
Adam Burke has responded. He says, every time Gil blanks on the Guardians, the price of the steak I'm going to order from our dinner goes up. Goes up in price. John Balducci, MLB awards. I just can't bet a market where humans vote on the outcome. The man died on the field. Yeah, that's the conundrum. But you know,
by the way, that's the fair response to preseason betting too. It's fine.
Yeah, like, it's fine.
It's a different game. If it's a different game,
yeah. And Nasty Neil, this is actually a fair question. Okay, because I'm threading a needle on something, and I'm glad that he brought up the distinction here. He said last year, you said we had evolved from the win loss record. Today seemed like you're using the win record to make the separation between Schlittler and Cease. Why did it not matter as much last year compared to this year's Cy Young race? Okay, let me be clearer on the distinction. You're right, Neil, that we figured out as voters as long ago as 2010, right, when Felix Hernandez won the Cy Young, and I think he only won 12 games that season in 2010. It was sort of the moment where you realize, oh, great, voters actually get analytics now. The win-loss record doesn't matter as much. So I think that's one thing. What I was referring to is that the margin between Schlittler and Cease is so thin that voters probably aren't aware of the Tom Tango formula, even though they end up manifesting it with their vote. And so what I'm saying is, what it might actually come down to, whether known or unbeknownst to those voters, is that the wins might end up being the differentiator. Does that make sense? I know it's a little unclear, but like consciously, I think most voters get wins aren't the most important thing in the world. But when a contest like this is so close between Cease and Schlittler,
mm-hmm.
that might prove the difference when we look at like a determinant like that formula. But I'm glad you asked the question. Maybe I wasn't super articulate or clear about that.
I mean, I guess there's a chance that that comes into play with NL MVP, too.
Yeah, but I still go back to my one thing. I am more resolute in that final thing I said about the NL MVP than anything, which is if voters don't have an excuse not to vote for Shohei, he is the shoe-in every year.
Yeah.
What has he won? 4 already, I believe, AL and NL combined. You'd give it to him every year because he's just unlike any other thing in the sport. But if you get any opportunity not to, therefore, all other things being equal, I think you take that opportunity and you don't vote for Shohei because these are humans voting and they know that next year it's going to be the same situation all over again with Shohei.
He's the ultimate example, but man, it's wild that's become something we've said across multiple sports over the past 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, NFL.
Nikola Jokic.
And the Nikola Jokic forever, right? And then right into Wemby, right? It's just not going to change.
Well, the Jokic thing was, well, there's only been a few players in the history of the league that have won 3 in a row. Do we really want to put Nikola Jokic in that same category as, who was it? Wilt, Larry Joe Burr. I can't remember the 3 guys it was. It was Burr.
Wasn't Bill Russell on there? Am I wrong?
Oh, I'll check it out right now.
You know what's crazy about that? That should be a lesson for voters out there. Because, like, there's a very good chance that Nikola Jokic never wins another MVP award. Right? You are now entered the era of Victor Wembanyama. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's right there. I mean, like, there's...
Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Larry Joe Bird. Those are the only 3 that won 3 in a row. So you would be, in essence, you would put Nikola Jokic in that esteemed group. Michael Jordan never did that. Magic Johnson never did that, right? LeBron never had 3 in a row. LeBron had 4 in 5 years, never had 3 in a row. So anyway, it's like stupid little things like that shouldn't matter, but because they're humans voting on this,
mm-hmm.
end up mattering. Barry Lamar Bonds won 7 of them. To win that many, you have to be so otherworldly.
Yeah.
That human beings will override their instinct not to give somebody. Just be like, there's no choice. We have to give it to this guy.
And Ooh,
Shohei's in that category, right?
Yes.
He's in the Bonds category. But if you get a chance not to do it, like if Bonds, imagine if Bonds all of a sudden, as soon as Bonds dropped from the 2001 to 2004, was the last one he won.
I was just going to say, okay, what's the last one? And I guess in those last ones that he won, who gave him the biggest push?
The last MVP that Barry Bonds won was 2004. Yeah, the end of his unbelievable stretch. The 2001-2004 Barry Bonds stretch, there's a million stats that will blow your head off your body, blow your brain, whatever the expression is. because they're just so unbelievable to look at. They can't possibly be true, yet they are. But as soon as it dipped from otherworldly to just below that, that was the end. They never gave him another one because they gave him 7 already. We're not giving him another. So any excuse they had, I think it's the same with Shohei this year. Like, oh, Pico Armstrong's stats are almost as good. And by the way, it shouldn't dismiss, right? Like, our brains shouldn't dismiss what Shohei actually did on the mound. 85 and two-thirds innings is still 85 and two-thirds innings of 1.79 ERA pitching. It should matter. I just don't think it will this year. They'll be like, he stopped pitching.
Do you have the voting results in front of you by any chance for that 2004?
No.
Just stumbled across something interesting. I don't know if I realized. 2004.
It couldn't have been close.
In sports. Well, that's the only one I don't have in front of me. 2004 in sports. Kevin Garnett wins MVP in the NBA. Not even close. I think this is unanimous first place. Peyton Manning wins MVP in the NFL with 47 of 48 first place votes. And then there was Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds got 91% of the first place votes.
So yeah, but 3 MVP blowouts.
No, that's not correct. Yes. No, that's not true. He got 24 out of 34. No, 24 out of 32. He got 75%.
Oh, wow, okay.
75% of the first place votes. Adrian Beltre, he got 6 first place votes. Pujols got 1. Scott Rowland got 1.
That was closer than NBA and NFL. Wow.
Am I looking at the right thing? Is that first place or share? I don't know. Maybe the way that Baseball Reference has it is weird. Anyway, he won by a landslide. Anyway, you slice it.
Incredible. Want to hit another award market quick?
Yes.
2 minutes on NBA Most Improved Player.
MIP.
I know, people have been waiting for this. Now, Gil,
who do you got for MIP?
I got a couple circle, but what I'm going to first do is just blow up the idea of a couple of the names on the graphic you're about to see. Do you remember what the one rule that I stand by with Most Improved Player is?
Yes, if it's the same one that I brought up on Primetime Action so many years ago.
Which, yeah.
Which is you can't go from oblivion to good.
Okay.
You have to go from very good to great.
No, that's what I always believe in. That's usually the track
there was an exception a couple years
ago. Yeah, that's usually the track I follow. Yeah. Yes, we would say that, what's my man on the Hawks? Great Barrier Thief, Daniels. He messed it up a couple years ago. Anyways, so the one rule, second year players, we have voters on the record saying they will not vote for second year players because this how you're supposed to develop through your NBA career, right?
That's right.
What do you notice on this graphic, Gil Alexander? A whole lot of second-year players, including right. Our favorite at the very top.
Yes, Dylan Harper, 10-1.
I think you and I don't want to speak for you, but I will say if there's any second-year player to ruin this, Dylan Harper probably could be the guy.
I think you're right.
He could be the guy, but I just want to point this out because we have a lot of these NBA stuff that are coming down and being released by books, awards, we went over win totals before you left. A lot of these NBA markets are coming down. There's not much attention being spent on, obviously, because the NFL's coming up, college football's coming up, end of baseball. Dylan Harper, Colin Murray Boyles on your graphic, also a second-year player for the Toronto Raptors. Great season for them, but also a second-year player. Not listed on your graphic. Oh, no, Igor Demin is there. 28-1, plays for the Brooklyn Nets, second-year player, which Zach's high on this guy this year. I hear him on it. I think he could have a great year. I just don't think for this award. Maluach over for the Suns is 35-1. Dylan Cardwell's 35-1 for the Kings. A lot of second-year players. My point is you can start crossing off a lot of names here. I don't really think Brandon Miller should be that high up here. Took a step back last year. Peyton Pritchard, I don't really think should be here. Khalil Ware would be the first name I would even consider. I think there's value down the board is my whole point here, Gil. I like Montes Buzelis for the Bulls at 40-1. I like Walker Kessler for the Lakers 40-1. Kessler's got to stay healthy. Whole point, I think there's some long shots you can look at in Most Improved Player that are very live.
10-1, though, is nothing to sneeze at on Harper. Coming back, recap the bets on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Kelly Bidlin, something only I care about.
Oh, what's up, man?
2004 National League MVP vote. I mentioned that Bonds got 24 out of the 32 yeah. first place votes.
Clean up your mistakes.
Adrian Beltre got 6 in 2004. 2003.
Okay, so that was a pretty big blowout, too.
Well, it gets bigger.
Not competitive betting on the MVP markets in 2004.
2003, 32 first place votes. Bonds got 28 of them. Pujols 3, Sheffield 1. 2002. I know what this is. This is going to be unanimous. Let me guess. Bang. 32 out of 32. Nobody else got a first place vote. And then 2001, that's got to be close to unanimous too. 2001, 30 out of 32. Sammy Sosa.
I was going to say, we just got to be like in Sammy Sosa McGuire years now, right?
That same year, by the way, like just to give you an idea how an MVP vote usually goes first place, Ichiro got in the American League, Ichiro got 11, Jason Giambi 8, Brett Boone 7. That's how it usually goes.
Am I forgetting others or were like the 3 years prior to what you just said, just some sort of like Bonds, Sosa, McGuire combination?
I mean, let's see, what was Shohei last year? Shohei was, it's got to be close to unanimous, right? 30. I guess they only had 30 first place votes. He got them all. So they went from 32 to 30. So as long as Shohei is pitching and hitting, he's going to be Bonds-esque, Bonzian, whatever you want to say, every time. But again, like Bonds after 2004, like Shohei if he doesn't pitch a full season, hey, wait, we can give this to Pete Crow Armstrong? Sure.
I was looking up leagues. The National League. That's what you played in, Danny. The National League. That's the premier American football league in Denmark.
What are you guys having a conversation while we're doing this? What are you guys doing? What are you talking about?
Yeah, we were talking about other football things.
Oh, okay. Right. Danny okay today, by the way? He seems a little ornery.
Oh, he was in 2 weeks in Montana, has to come back and work with us. The championship game was called the Mermaid Bowl? Is that something that actually you played in? Is that you played in the Mermaid Bowl? That's amazing.
Wow. What's the trophy? Like a mermaid trophy?
I would hope so.
Tigers 60-1, most wins month of August. Good start, 6-2. Only the Rays and the Cubs have 7 wins, have more wins currently than the Tigers. Tigers are idle today. That means they don't play.
What were they, like 15-1 on the updated odds?
15-1 currently, yes.
You know the question. Would you play it if you didn't have it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Again, 10 days ago, right, when I said, they're going to thread the needle. Those were my exact words, with thread the needle. They're going to trade Scooble. Casey Mize also, they're still going to try to get the playoffs. They are 1 back in the wild card. They are 3.5 back in the division. And their next 6 games starting tomorrow, homestand, 3 against the Guardians, 3 against the White Sox. I mean, every single person in that organization is thinking playoffs now. And they were 10 days ago.
Like it, man.
What you got?
NFL preseason week 1. Let's go. Fire it up. Colts, Chargers, 6-point teaser, both up to 7.5. Titans taking 2.5. I bet that on Friday this has moved. And then Chiefs money line, -125. That has not moved. I still like that one.
I also, by the way, did the 3-team 10-point teaser. But again, I don't know how many places this is available. But I did the Dolphins, Commanders, Bucks, Jets, Rams, Chiefs, tease the total down, played the over. 25.5, 26, 26.5 on those. Also had a place today from Greg Peterson. Greg's Fab 5. Mets Braves over 8. Cards Phillies game. He's on the Cardinals. Rays Athletics over 9.5. In Sacramento. What are you doing? Giants plus 140 versus the Astros today. And the Royals Dodgers over 7.5 at Chavez Ravine. Those from Greg Peterson. Texas Roadhouse, baby, in our future. Wes Reynolds. Sonny Gray over 17.5 outs recorded for the Red Sox today. And he is playing the Mets Braves over 8.5 as well in that game. And then Adam Burke, the Berkster. Mets team total over 3.5 and over 4.5. The latter there from him. And he's on the Phillies at the Cardinals, and he's on the Rangers at the Angels. Not the Angles, but the Angels right there. You know, I was on my flight last night, by the way, from San Francisco to Las Vegas.
Who?
Bruce Bochy, 4-time World Series skipper.
Really?
Champion. I'm waiting. You know how United Airlines does their boarding? That if you're in first class, you're still in group 1. They don't make a special thing for first class. So Boch, all of a sudden, I looked to my left. It's Bruce Bochy, largest cranium in the history of Major League Baseball, by the way. It's a big fact. You should know about him. Four World Series is one thing. Three with the Giants, one with the Rangers, but largest cranium ever. And I look at him, and I'm like, in my head, I'm like, oh, my God, it's Bruce Bochy. And he's like, and he asks me, he says, is this the line for one? In that Bochy grovelly voice.
Yeah,
is this the line for one? And I'm like, yes. Also, thank you for all the great years that you provide us with. He goes, oh, thank you very much. Very nice of you to say. And I, you know, sort of made a gesture of like, do you want to butt in? He wouldn't butt in. He's like, no, I'll wait my seat. Anyway,
I like the idea of like how many people on a flight can recognize Bruce Bochy. It's probably like five.
From San Francisco, you would think that it would be more than five. I didn't get the impression many did. I was like, do people know that's Bruce Bochy out there? He was in two. I was in seven, by the way, staring up at him. Man won four World Series.
Should have started up a conversation with him. Should have switched seats with whoever was sitting next to him.
I like that he wouldn't butt, though. That was very good.
Yeah, me too.
I'll wait my turn. That's how he did it. All right. What didn't we cover today, Kelly Bidlin? I'll tell you what we didn't cover.
That's a great question.
With the National Football League, again, with the preseason stuff that we talked about earlier on the show, just remember, this is what a lot of sharp bettors swear by. And again, if you listen to, you know, mainstream stuff where folks are telling you this is the dumbest thing in the world, it is not the dumbest thing in the world. Now, I would suggest to you, like, exhibition baseball, Grapefruit League, Cactus League, unless you know the plan on who's pitching and for how long and that kind of thing, and there's multiple games every day. I mean, I'm sure there are people, right? Who Jason Weingarten used to try to bet that also.
I used to have a lot of success with that.
But that's, you know, a lot of games every day.
Yeah.
This is a number of games, obviously, in the NFL that you can wrap your arms around, and it is an information race. And if you can get ahead of the move, the big moves, and by big moves, I'm just saying one point or more on the spreads. Historically, thank you, Drew Dinsick, 1,100 games sample size prior to last season examined. 65% of the time, you will win at that rate, ATS. I'll never give this advice in any other thing, but if you didn't get ahead of the move, you'd still hit them at 58% after the move. That is just, again, is that gospel? Is it likely to happen every single year? Who knows? But that's a large enough sample size where it just tells you this is different from everything else, and not to repeat myself on this because we won't again tomorrow or the next day or the next day, but just know that heading into the preseason that we got six games on Thursday, now the Hall of Fame game is behind us. You know, that's how your attitude should be about this. If you don't want to do it, you don't have enough time, it's not your cup of tea, that's one thing. But certainly don't besmirch others who do because they make good money on it. The other thing is, don't overreact. We didn't really say this earlier.
Oh, gosh, yes. Please.
I mean, there was this, you know, this Hall of Fame game by any measure of a preseason game was really exciting, I guess, by preseason standards.
It was like the greatest Hall of Fame game ever.
But I didn't know Haynes King was being inducted after that game.
Those guys got hurt.
When did he get hurt?
I have no idea. Last play of the game, I don't know. He was up there celebrating, though.
By the way, was Haynes King the quarterback of the Saints that game in Denver?
No, Haynes King was he was the Georgia Tech kid.
Yeah. Haynes King the quarterback of the Saints in that game at Mile High, whatever they're calling it today? Remember, it was late in a Survivor season where we didn't know things about it. It was Haynes King who played that game, right? Anyway, doesn't matter. But I remember there was a big Survivor controversy. It was like, how could you play that game if you don't know who's playing in that late in the season? But anyway.
He's a rookie, right? Second year rookie,
wait,
right?
So who,
rookie, yeah.
Wait, so who am I thinking of? Out of Georgia Tech?
I don't know.
I'm thinking of some. Okay. Anyway, wires crossed on that. But the... I know what I'm thinking of. So the... I didn't know he was being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And then I also didn't know that, like, Carson Beck was being immediately inducted into the Hall of Fame. You can't...
Yeah.
The defenses are so vanilla in some of these cases, right? You just can't read into stuff. Haynes King, whether injured or not, he's not even going to overtake Kenny Pickett, probably, right? In that depth chart.
Correct.
He's certainly not going to overtake Bryce Young. What do you think about Bryce Young, Kelly?
I mean, he could, because I don't really know how good Bryce Young is. So he might. Maybe he wanted to trade away. I actually liked Haynes King in college. Like, I've been watching him play. He's a little mini Tebow type, right? Try to run the ball a bunch.
Yeah. Well, Anyway, so that's the other thing. Don't react to these. Don't read into these games for fantasy purposes or even for, you know, your prognostication purposes moving forward. It's the preseason. While we can exploit it, betting doesn't mean you should necessarily glean a lot of things from unless you understand what these teams are trying to do.
Panthers signed Trask with Haynes King hurt now with a hamstring injury. And lastly, like just the information thing you were talking about, like I'm not sure Teddy Bridgewater ever took a snap with the Lions. And like then he gets confirmed he's retiring and that moves like 6 points.
We've done all we can do. Prop Points is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.